Chapter 2, He Watches Over Us. Another year slipped by, but that canoe trip had whet my appetite to start canoe tripping again. So the next summer, I went back to Northwoods for 2 weeks this time. Here we go again. The adventure this time took us down the French River's South Channel. The director of the camp was leading us on this very challenging trip, and I felt confident in her abilities. The trip started out early on a rainy Monday morning. All the gear was packed and loaded into waiting canoes. Then we gathered under a tree to pray. There we huddled, miserably contemplating paddling in the soaking rain. A sorrier, less enthusiastic group of trippers you will never see. We mounted our canoes and bravely headed out into the torrential rainstorm. We had a rather long lake paddle that day, followed by 3 days of whitewater paddling. As we paddled onward, deluged by the rain, there was a hope that at least by the end of the day, we would have a chance to dry out to bring us to a campsite where we could cuddle in cozy tents and warm sleeping bags. Prayers were sent heavenward for sunshine and a bit of warmth as the day wore on. As counselors, it was our responsibility to safeguard the health of our campers. As the day progressed, it became quite evident that a number of the campers were getting very, very cold. The possibility of hypothermia crept into our minds. But what could we do? We were miles from our campsite. Around 2 o'clock, with the storm still raging, the leader and I began to scan the shoreline for any place that would do as a campsite. There had to be room for 5 tents, and flat ground was a difficult thing to find on the rocky shores of the French River. We pressed on. By 3 p.m., many campers were visibly shivering, and the pace had slowed down. By 4 p.m., we were desperate to find a suitable campsite. We were still 5 miles and one set of rapids from our proposed campsite. We prayed, "Lord, we need your help. We need a campsite right now. Please protect our campers." Desperately, we tried to encourage the campers, tried getting them to sing and to paddle on, to persevere. But our speed had slowed down to a snail's pace, and it still rained. Suddenly, we spotted a patch of green grass up ahead, seemingly the only green grass on the shores of the French River. On top of that grassy knoll stood a rustic lodge. I shouted to the leader, "I wonder if they would let us camp there, if we could camp on their lawn for the night, if we explain our situation. Do you think they'd let us?" She agreed that we should ask. So we left the canoes, parked in a small inlet across from the lodge, and told the girls to huddle under a tree. "Keep moving, girls, to keep warm." Meanwhile, we paddled across to the lodge to speak with the owners. We were just beginning to explain our situation when suddenly screams erupted from across the bay. We bolted out the door and down to the canoe, followed closely by the lodge staff. We paddled furiously back to the campers. As we drew near, we saw that one of the girls was on the ground, while the other campers were frantically pulling sleeping bags out of the packs to cover her. She had collapsed from hypothermia. Several of the lodge staff had joined us via motorboat, and they transported the unconscious girl and a group of campers and our leader over to the lodge, while I gathered up all the gear and the rest of the campers, and we followed in canoes. By the time the rest of us arrived, our hypothermic camper was in a bed of a heated cabin, buried deep beneath multiple coverlets, nestled close to another camper for added warmth. She began to come around. In the meantime, the lodge owners graciously offered the rest of us accommodations in a spacious bunkhouse with a fireplace. Hallelujah! No sooner had we gotten a roaring fire going than supplies began to arrive. First, hot drinks were supplied, then pots of spaghetti and meat sauce, garlic bread and salad. Then, dry clothes were donated by all the other staff lodge guests. You have no idea how wonderful dry socks can feel until you've experienced a day of wet, cold feet. That evening, we sat as a group around the fireplace and discussed the day's events. Amazement filled the voices of all. God had provided so much for us. Despite the rain, when we needed help the most, He provided. The list of God's interventions convinced even the darkest doubter. A lodge was right there when the disaster struck, the only lodge on the French River. This night was the only night in the entire summer that the large bunkhouse was available, the only spot that could have accommodated us. The meal that came along was exactly the same meal that we had planned for dinner that night. A coincidence? Maybe, but I think that God was showing us that He is able to take care of even the tiniest of details. Our hypothermic camper was fully recovered. Despite all these things, turbulent emotions still weighed upon all of us. What if it rained again the next day? Much of our equipment was wet and would take days to dry. How would we keep warm? Despite clear evidence of God's care, our faith was still pretty rocky. The general consensus was that we did not have the heart to go on. We prayed. As prayers drifted around the circle, the girls poured out our feelings to God. The doubts that had suppressed us, that had prevented real rejoicing in God's providence, began to disappear. Joy replaced sadness. Elation replaced despair. God moved us to trust Him. What began as a simple prayer for good weather turned into a time of rejoicing and praise. One by one, we all drifted into peaceful slumber, content to leave tomorrow in the hands of our Heavenly Father. Brilliant sunshine filled the room as we awoke the next day. Awe shone from all of the faces of the trippers. We were ready to face the new day and the rest of the trip, confident that God was in control. God does indeed watch over us, and we can be confident that He will do it. Knowing that God watches over us inspires us to take our problems to Him, to give them to Him, knowing that He is faithful and will do it, teaches us to trust Him to accomplish the very best for us. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." One of the most valuable lessons on your life's journey is learning to have faith that God cares for you and is watching over you. We can depend upon Him, for He is faithful.